This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, March 13th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Skittles ban returns. Newsom's drought orders failed. And EPA's growing pains. Skittles ban heads to schools. Last year, Governor Newsom signed a bill on food ingredients that opponents had dubbed a Skittles ban. To get the bill across the finish line, Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel of Los Angeles had dropped a titanium dioxide from the banned list. The ingredient is back on the list for a new bill Gabriel introduced this week. AB 2316 would prohibit schools from offering foods with titanium dioxide as well as six food dyes. Gabriel is arguing the foods are linked to cancer, hyperactivity, and neurobehavioral harms to children. As with last year's bill, the Environmental Working Group and Consumer Reports are sponsoring the legislation. The reaction? Well, the National Confectioners Association contends that activists are dismantling our national food safety system state by state in an emotionally driven campaign that lacks scientific backing. The trade group is calling for FDA Commissioner Robert Califf to wake up and get in the game, arguing the agency is the only institution, quote, that can stop this sensationalistic agenda. Newsom's drought orders failed to protect communities. As the drought reached its zenith in 2022, Governor Newsom issued two executive orders adding new permitting requirements for groundwater wells. A new report indicates the directives did little to slow the impacts to domestic drinking water wells. Farm groups call the order ill-advised and noted that counties issued moratoriums on new permits while they interpreted the order, leading to lengthy permitting delays ahead of irrigation season. The Department of Water Resources analysis finds that the orders provided critical direction to local agencies for considering SGMA impacts. But the DWR report concludes that the orders did not fully address the complexities of well permitting or align well with SGMA goals and also failed to ensure compliance. According to DWR, the continued subsidence in well-permitting vulnerable areas, quote, indicates that in many respects, the EOs failed to achieve its goal. The report recommends improving public transparency with pending permit applications, setting limits on well spacing and depth. It also calls for exempting public wells and low-priority basins for the standards. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. EPA's Ag Office has some staffing up to do. The National Farmers Union held its annual convention in Scottsdale, Arizona this week, and AgriPulse Sarah Wyatt used the occasion to catch up with two key officials in the Biden administration when it comes to ag policy. Rod Snyder, who's leading EPA's permanent new agriculture office, says it will have a staff of about 10 and be a part of the office of the administrator. We are beginning to staff up as quickly as possible, keeping in mind that really for the last 2.5 years since I've been here, there was really only two staff members, Snyder says. He goes on to say to go from 2 to almost 10 just increases the bandwidth. We can get out to the countryside more. We can meet with more farm groups. We can begin to take in information in a way that we haven't been. Snyder on pesticide regulation. EPA continues to work on a court-ordered measure to ensure the usage of farm chemicals complies with requirements under the Endangered Species Act. He says the agency has delayed finalizing its herbicide strategy until the end of summer so that we can begin to incorporate feedback from farmers. We need to get this right. We need to comply with the law, and we need to make sure that farmers still have tools to have productive farming operations, he says. Now, take note, EPA needs staff to carry out its regulatory work, and the agency's Office of Pesticide Programs is taking a cut of several million dollars for fiscal 24, that under the recently enacted spending package, according to Snyder. Farmers offered tool for organic transition. Producers who want to go organic have a new resource available to help them make the switch. USDA's National Organic Program is making available a new transitional production plan. A template posted online helps new crop producers develop the supporting documentation needed to qualify for organic transition initiative services provided through the Risk Management Agency and Natural Resources Conservation Service. Use of the transitional plan, quote, will ultimately streamline the organic transition process and help producers take advantage of all USDA programs more easily, the organic program said. Grocery prices flat in February. Supermarket prices were broadly steady in February as lower costs for dairy products, fruits, pork, and chicken offset increases for beef, eggs, sugar, and other products. Despite some relief at grocery stores, the overall consumer price index rose 0.4% in February, largely driven by new increases in the cost of housing and energy, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported yesterday. The price increase for eating at home had risen 0.4% in January and 0.2% in December, but is up just 1% from February 23 as food inflation returns to more normal patterns after the spikes in 2021 and 2022. USDA's Economic Research Service forecasts grocery prices will rise 1.6% this year, down from 5% in 2023 and 11.4% in 2022. The 20-year average inflation rate for eating at home is 2.7%. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. Well, here's today's He Said It. It would effectively require employers to subsidize striking workers. That Cal Chambers senior policy advocate Robert Moultrie blasting a second attempt at providing unemployment pay to workers on strike for more than 2 weeks. On Tuesday, several ag groups joined a large business coalition opposing the measure. SB 1116 is the first bill to make Cal Chambers' job killer list this year. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, March 13th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit agripulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.